10 o'clock at KOIN in Portland.
CBS News, the full Watergate committee meets Wednesday in an effort to approve a final draft report after a series of staff leaks. I'm Jim Kilpatrick reporting on the CBS Radio Network. A partisan fight is expected, along with the minority report. The Republicans are scheduling their own meeting after the full committee session. The latest draft chapter from the staff, which was leaked Tuesday, says that abuses uncovered in the 1972 presidential campaign spawned virtually from the entire spectrum of corrupt campaign financing practices. The report says some solicitations were tinged with extortion and some contributions were tinged with bribery. The draft report reportedly recommends some solutions, but ducks the issue of public financing of elections. CBS News continues after this. The American Challenge. Are we out of tune with our own times? How do we meet the challenges to come? Anthropologist Margaret Mead thinks we have some rearranging to do.
We don't know how to organize, really organize. Some things have got to be planetary, some have got to be continental, some have got to be national, and some have got to involve 20 square blocks. And we've got to decide which is which. Almost everything we do is on the wrong scale at present.
Margaret Mead, along with William Foxmeyer, Gloria Steinem, Alvin Toffler, Theodore White, Eric Hoffer, and many other authorities, give their opinions on the American Challenge the weekend of June 22nd and 23rd. It may be the most important listening you do all year, with the most impressive array of original thinkers ever assembled for a broadcast forum. Walter Cronkite anchors an electrifying 30 broadcasts. The American Challenge, Saturday and Sunday, June 22nd and 23rd, on the CBS Radio Network.
Military activity is increasing in Southeast Asia. Communist insurgents claim they have captured an American lieutenant in Cambodia. The U.S. Embassy dismisses the claim. Communist units fired 3 rockets into Phnom Penh Tuesday night. One exploded within 200 yards of the American embassy. Military officials say the latest attack killed at least 4 persons. In South Vietnam, fighting continued today, just 25 miles north of Saigon. Haney Howell reports.
The big cap battle is now in its second month. Comes the longest and bloodiest operation since the ceasefire. This is also the closest to the capital the communist tanks have operated, and a government spokesman said that while Saigon is not directly threatened by the fighting, it does put pressure on the northern defense perimeter. Government forces claim to have killed 32 communist troops and destroyed a tank in the fight for a remote outpost which was overrun by enemy forces last month. Government losses were listed as 15 killed and 53 wounded. Communist sappers sunk 2 oil barges at the river port in Yau Bay just outside of Saigon early this morning. Yau Bay is also the location of a large gasoline supply depot, which has been hit several times by sappers in the past month. Haney Howell, CBS News, Saigon.
The House Agriculture Committee will meet again to consider the price of meat Wednesday. At issue is how to keep the cattle farmers in business and at the same time keep retail prices from skyrocketing. Representative Carl Albert of Oklahoma, a major beef-producing state, blames the problem on the middlemen, not the farmers.
Since last August, prices have gone down almost half, while the price of feed and costs for raising cattle are continually rising. Prices have not come down in the grocery store. And this is the thing that disturbs the little man. He pays almost the same price for a piece of beef in the grocery store that he paid in August last year. There's no way for the cattleman, continuing to quote, to stay in business when everything is so out of balance.
House Speaker Carl Albert. The meeting of NATO foreign ministers in Ottawa concludes Wednesday. General agreement has been reached on the new Declaration of Principles. It is largely a restatement of the long-time assumptions of the alliance that an attack on one would be considered an attack on all, that detente with the Soviet Union is desirable, but not at the expense of European security. The formal signing of the declaration has been delayed until June 26 in Brussels, when President Nixon stops there en route to Russia. More after this.
The city of Chicago, state of Georgia, Albertsons Incorporated of Colorado, Butler.
What do all these have in common?
State of West Virginia.
They've all joined in and worked with the pitch-in program to help clean up America.
24th Street Elementary.
What can you do?
Keep Virginia.
Right. United States Brewers Association. Post Office Box 2570, Washington, D.C. 20013.
Washington National.
Let's all pitch in.
Annapolis Motor Speedway. Colorado Division of Highways. Keep Florida beautiful.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablets?
No, sinus medicine. Helps the headache and the pressure.
Oh, you mean Sinol.
Exactly.
Exactly right. When sinus flares up with congestion and pain, insist on Sinol tablets. Sinol delivers a full dose of pure aspirin plus a sinus drainer. Sinol helps sinus pain while you drain. Use only as directed.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sinol.
Exactly.
Sinol. The sinus medicines in the bright red box.
The Department of Health, Education, and Welfare has issued new rules that would prohibit sex discrimination in any of the nation's schools that receive federal funds. The rules are designed to assure equal treatment and participation in all activities except football. I'm Jim Kilpatrick, CBS News.
Hundreds of Americans are victims of a serious form of hoax, one that is being perpetrated by rumor mongers for no apparent monetary gain. Puzzling? Yes, I think so too. For years, good-hearted Americans have been saving the red cellophane bands from cigarette packs, which they believe can be redeemed in exchange for a dog guide for a blind person. Despite disclaimers from the tobacco industry and various agencies serving blind people, these rumors persist. The result of these cruel hoaxes is heartbreak and anger. Lately, similar campaigns, again based on rumor, have come to light, involving rings from the tops of beverage cans as well as the tags from tea bags. The truth is, no blind person is denied a guide dog for lack of funds. Get your facts straight about guide dogs from the American Foundation for the Blind. Write to Hoaxes, Box 111, New York, 10011. Joan Crawford, saying thank you.
G. Marshall. For nearly 100 years, the strange case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde has been thought of as a tale of horror, which of course it is, but it is also an intriguing mystery. For example, take the matter of Dr. Jekyll's curious will and the scene that took place one foggy London afternoon in the office of Jekyll's attorney, Geoffrey Utterson.
No, Jekyll. I will not be a party to the making of such a will.
You are my solicitor. Yes, and my friend. Now, if you will not do it as my lawyer, do it. I beg of you as my friend.
Everything you possess to go to this Edward Hyde in the event of your death or even your disappearance?
Yes.
Well, then you must tell me. I demand that you tell me. Who is Edward Hyde? Well, Jekyll, who is he?
Utterson, I wish to heaven on you.
Our mystery drama, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, was especially adapted from the classic by Robert Louis Stevenson for the Mystery Theater by George Lother and stars Kevin McCarthy. It is sponsored in part by Contact, the 12-hour allergy capsule, and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Oh, somebody's been drinking my sugar-free diet 7-Up, and it's all gone.
Well, actually, I saved a little.
Oh, a bear!
Hiya, Goldie. What's brewing?
That's Miss Goldilocks to you.
Oh, come on, kid. You mean you don't remember me? The cottage, the three chairs, the porridge? In the fur. Been a long time, Goldie.
But Baby Bear...
Just call me B.B.
You drank all the sugar-free diet 7-Up, and I have to conduct another diet drink taste test today.
Well, yeah, I saw the sign on the door, a professional taste tester, huh?
But how can I conduct my taste test now?
Why bother? I tried those other diet drinks, too. You'll notice there's still plenty of them around. Why not ask me?
Well, okay, B.B. Tell me, why did you drink all the sugar-free diet 7-Up?
I like the taste. Light, fresh, natural, sugar-free diet 7-Up is definitely unbearably delicious.
Mm-hmm.
The mystery has been solved. For all your shopping needs, large or small, shop the climate-controlled malls of Janssen Beach Center. It's always fair weather at the beach. More than 60 shops and services await your shopping visits to the center, so make a day of it. Take your time shopping. Eat a leisurely lunch. Just browse through the afternoon. We work hard to make our motto mean something. The mall that has it all. Janssen Beach Center. Interstate 5 at Janssen Beach.
Oh, Mary, I'd love to. But Monday's bridge club, and Tuesday, Irene and I take a class at the university, so it couldn't be then.
Mama.
But Wednesday's busy. Ladies' auxiliary in the morning and club meeting in the afternoon. Oh, maybe Thursday. Oh, no, that's bowling. And Friday's my shopping day. Guess Saturday's about... Amy, don't bother me. Can't you see I'm involved?
Sometimes it's easy to put the things that matter least before the things that matter most.
Amy, I'm sorry. Let's do that right now.
A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Come. Come with me now, back through the years to London, England, in 1896. It is late of a pleasant spring evening, and we find ourselves strolling in Cavendish Square, along with Geoffrey Utterson and his friend, Dr. Mortimer Lanyon.
I must say I've enjoyed our walk, Utterson. We'll soon be at my place. Will you come in?
Oh, thanks, Lanyon, but I think not. I've got a good deal of work to get through before I go to bed. I needed a break, though, a breath of air, which is why I came for this walk with you. And
good heavens. Hmm? That man coming toward us. Oh, strange-looking fellow, isn't he? Oh, his face. In the light of the street lamp. That's the most evil face I've ever...
And he's coming straight at us. He's going to knock one of us down if we don't...
You fool, you knocked my friend down. You, hold on there. Hold on there, I say.
Let go.
No, not on your life.
Let go.
You not only knocked my friend down, you walked straight over him.
Sorry, let me go.
Who are you? Are you crazy? Are you out of your mind? You walked on my friend as if... As if he were part of the paper.
I said I'm sorry.
But that's not enough. By no means enough.
Oh, who is this man?
Lanyon, are you all right?
I'm not sure. You walked on me. Stomped right over me. Who the devil are you?
I warn you, the two of you. Let me go.
Oh, this.
Let me go, I say, or I'll kill you both.
Look out, he's bringing that heavy water. He's taking it.
Kill you.
Oh, don't.
You struck me. No one strikes Edward Hyde and lives.
No. He'll kill us both with that walking stick. Run, Utterson, run!
Come back! Come back here and I'll kill you!
Stop! Stop, I can't go on. My heart.
Oh, my
throat. It's pounding like a trip. Oh, good Lord, Utterson. I've never had such an experience of this kind in my life. Are you all right? You took a blow from that walking stick. Utterson, what is it?
Name.
The name he used. Did you hear it?
Yes.
But... Oh, what was it?
Well, I think I know, but I want to be sure.
Hyde, he said. Edward Hyde.
That's what I thought.
Well, what of it? Well, the way you looked at... Do you know the man? Does the man mean something to you?
No. I don't know the man. But the name. Oh, yes, the name means something to me.
What? Well, what?
I'm not sure I can tell you, Lanyon. I'm not sure I have the right as a lawyer to do so. On the other hand, I...
Yes?
Oh, you are my oldest friend, and your daughter Beatrice is engaged to Dr. Jekyll, isn't she?
Yes, sir, to be married in September.
And perhaps I should tell you that... No, it would serve no purpose.
Why, Mr. Utterson.
Oh, good evening, Poole. I know it's late, but is Dr. Jekyll at home?
Oh, to you, sir, at any hour, I'm sure. Come in, sir. The doctor is at work in his laboratory. If you'll wait here a moment, sir.
Thank you, Poole.
excuse me, Dr. Jekyll.
What? Damn it. Poole, I told you I was not to be disturbed.
I know, sir, but...
But what?
Mr. Utterson is calling, sir.
Utterson? At this hour? Well, all right. Show him in.
This way, Mr. Utterson, please.
Thank you. Well, Utterson, this is a late hour visit.
Jekyll, I'll come straight to the point. Dr. Lanyon and I were out walking in Cavendish Square less than an hour ago when we noticed a strange man, a sort of, I don't know, dwarf-like creature with, I show you, a face that, but it was so vile, so evil, it brought the sweat out on my brow.
Well,
this man, he walked straight into Lanyon, knocked him down, and then walked right over him. I ran after him, an argument ensued, and then, well, he threatened to kill both Lanyon and me with his walking stick. He went into a rage I can only describe as bestial, swinging the walking stick at us, and
what?
Well, I don't think he meant to give his name. In fact, he refused to give it when I asked for it. But in his rage, he forgot himself, and he used his name. Edward Hyde.
And? What of that?
6 months ago, you insisted that I destroy your old will and make out a new one, leaving everything to a certain Edward Hyde, right?
Oh, I see.
Now, I told you then, as I tell you now, I considered the terms of the will most curious, indeed decidedly strange.
And as I told you then, and I tell you now, I see nothing strange in wanting to leave my money to a certain beneficiary in the event of my death.
Or your disappearance. That's what I find strange. That's what worries me. Even more now in the light of what happened tonight. Jekyll, I ask you once again, who is Edward Hyde?
You mean the Edward Hyde I've bequeathed my estate to, or the Edward Hyde you ran into tonight?
They are one and the same.
There's certainly more than one Edward Hyde in all of London.
Oh, yes, I'm quite sure. But only one Edward Hyde who might have been carrying this.
My walking stick?
The walking stick I gave you several years ago on your birthday. I'd know it anywhere. Jekyll, are you in trouble?
Huh? What do you mean, trouble?
What with this Hyde, does he have something on you? Is he blackmailing you?
That's a ridiculous thought.
Then what is it? How can you, Dr. Henry Jekyll, one of the most honorable and respected physicians in London, have any association whatever with a terrible person like this Hyde? Why have you made over your estate to him, especially when you are to marry Beatrice Lanyon? And why that stipulation in the event of your disappearance? Jekyll, I beg you, tell me what it means.
I cannot... I cannot.
But as your friend, I...
You are the friend you say you are. Oh, and you are, Utterson. You are. And then do me the favor of never mentioning Edward Hyde again.
Well, if this is your last word on the subject, Jekyll...
It is.
Very well, then. Good night.
Yes, Mr. Utterson, sir.
I'd like to ask you something.
Oh, anything, sir.
Who is Edward Hyde?
Oh, God help me, sir. I wish I knew. We all of us in this house, everyone of Dr. Jekyll's servants, wish we knew.
All right, tell me about him, this Hyde.
Dr. Jekyll was away on a house call, I think. The front doorbell rang and I answered it. And there stood... Oh, a frightful creature, Mr. Utterson, frightful.
I've met Mr. Hyde. I know.
He said he wanted to see Dr. Jekyll. I started to say that Dr. Jekyll was not at home, but he pushed right past me in the rudest way, sir, and went straight into Dr. Jekyll's laboratory.
Yes, I quite understand. Go on.
Well, later on, I was in the kitchen when the bell rang from the laboratory. I went into the laboratory and... There, to my complete surprise, was Dr. Jekyll.
to your surprise.
Why, yes. You see, sir, he'd forgotten his keys, and I was so surprised that he'd somehow got back into the house.
Well, did you ask him how?
Oh, I did, sir, yes. But he ignored the question. Never mind that, he said. I want to give you certain instructions concerning Mr. Edward Hyde. He then said that Mr. Hyde was to be admitted any time he called.
See. Tell me, Poole, what is Mr. Hyde's manner toward Dr. Jekyll? I mean, when they're together, how does Mr. Hyde act toward Dr. Jekyll? Or Dr. Jekyll toward this Mr. Hyde?
Well, they're never together, sir.
That's puzzling, very puzzling, to say the least.
Oh, Mr. Addison, sir, all of us here are convinced that our master is in dire trouble. If you could help the good doctor...
Yes, Poole. Yes, I certainly shall, if I can.
You'd come into the music room. How long have you been there?
Only a few moments. When you become Mrs. Henry Jekyll, I shall insist that you play for me every night after dinner.
It shall be my wifely pleasure and duty, kind sir. Henry,
I'm sorry, but... Oh, Beatrice, I want you so.
And I want you, but until we're married, Henry, I...
Must we wait until September? It's such a long time.
Oh, Father.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know you were here, Henry. How are you?
How are you, Dr. Lanyon? Utterson tells me you had a rather bad experience the other night.
Yes, yes. But I'm quite recovered, thank you. Still a few bruises where that fearsome creature stomped on me, but otherwise all right. Something I've been meaning to ask you, Henry.
Yes?
But later. I don't want to interrupt you two lovebirds.
Father?
Well, I shall be in my study. Drop in before you go.
Of course.
Well, now, Henry, where were we? Oh, yes, the wedding. No, now, look, dearest, we can't possibly change the date now.
What if I insist?
I don't think I understand.
I say, what if I insist?
But, Henry, you wouldn't. It would be so unlike you. It is so unlike you even to be talking this way. You've always gone along with my wish.
I have wishes, too. And rights, Beatrice, I have rights.
Well, really, Henry, really, you... You have no right, as you say, until we marry.
Hmm?
It troubles me you should even say such a thing. In fact, Henry...
Yes? In fact, what?
Henry, I've been meaning to talk to you about this, and I keep putting it off because I... Well, I feel a bit awkward, but... Well, to be honest with you, my darling, you're not the same man that I became engaged to.
Now, that's a silly remark.
Well, the way you've acted the last few times we've been together, there's something different about you, Henry. I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it, but you've changed somehow in some subtle way. Changed.
Huh?
Why, even your face.
What about my face?
Well, Henry, you don't have to snort.
What about it? My face.
You're hurting me, Henry. Please don't.
Sorry.
Sorry isn't enough. More and more you keep manhandling me, and then you say you're sorry. What's come over you? What changed you in the past few weeks?
What did you mean about my face?
Oh, darling. Oh, it's only that... I suppose you're working too hard or something of the sort, but there are lines in your face that I've never seen before. Lines of tiredness, I guess.
Yes, yes, That would be it.
Shadows under your eyes. Why, even now they look darker. Deeper. Oh, darling, I didn't notice before, but I do now, I think, that you neglected to shave today.
I must go.
Go? You've only been here a few minutes.
Patient, remember, patient. Promise to visit. I'll drop in again tomorrow.
Oh, was that Henry who just left?
Yes, Father.
But he said he'd drop by the study to see me before he went.
Yes, I know he did.
Well, Beatrice, what's happened?
I don't know. For a moment, I'd sworn that changing before my eyes.
A tale of horror, yes, but also, as I said, a mystery. At least it was to Mr. Utterson, Dr. Lanyon, and his lovely daughter, Beatrice. A mystery that was to turn to tragic horror before they learned the truth about Dr. Henry Jekyll. I shall return shortly with Act Two. This is Jerry Crawford for Kellogg's Special K. We've been having some fun in our television and radio commercials by using a ball and chain to symbolize the slight overweight problem common to so many of us. We point out that being a few pounds overweight is just a little more difficult for you. Climbing stairs, just walking around, even sitting down can feel, well, like you're wearing a ball and chain. In case you missed the message, it's this. If you really want to get rid of that extra weight, you really have to work at it by exercising and with sensible meals like the Special K breakfast. A 1 ounce bowl of Special K, America's favorite high-protein cereal, 4 ounces of skim milk, tomato juice, and coffee. Less than 240 calories. Nutritious, and by the way, delicious. So why not begin each day with a Special K breakfast and then keep up the good work? Special K can't help you lose weight all by itself, but it really is a good start.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
Listen, Lou, this fellow is at the door about the home repair, you know, and he wants me to sign the contract now. What do I do?
You don't have to sign that contract now, madam.
You're not Lou. Who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau with some advice to help you to protect yourself. Read all the documents before you sign and take your time. He'll come back tomorrow. And incidentally, keep a copy of any form you do sign. And be sure you understand what you're signing.
Oh, thank you for telling me.
No need to thank me, madam. That's what Better Business Bureaus are for, to help protect consumers like you.
It almost goes without saying that to tamper with natural law will lead to an unnatural end. Mr. Utterson, Dr. Lanyon, Poole, and the servants in Dr. Jekyll's household have begun to suspect that Jekyll is hiding some awful secret from them. A secret that involves the man known as Edward Hyde. Even Beatrice Lanyon, Dr. Jekyll's fiancée, has begun to wonder at the change she senses in him. It may even be that the London police are beginning to wonder.
Come in.
Inspector Wolfe of Scotland Yard to see you, Dr. Jekyll.
Oh? Sorry, Min Poole.
Yes. This way, Inspector.
Thank you. Dr. Jekyll?
Yes?
Leave us, Poole.
Inspector Wolfe of Scotland Yard, is it?
Yes.
Please take a chair, Inspector.
Thank you.
Well, now, Inspector, what can I do for you?
Hey, well, I'm not sure you can do anything at all, Doctor, but, are you aware that in the past 6 weeks there's been a rash of murders in London? Extremely brutal murders, Doctor. Mm-hmm. Each victim has been bludgeoned to death.
Why do you come to me?
Well, on more than one occasion, the murderer has been seen while committing these terrible attacks of violence. Not clearly seen, since the murderers have always been done at night and in dark streets, you know. But there have been glimpses of them, and putting them together, the Yard has come up with what you might call a composite picture of the man.
I still don't see. I just don't understand why you've come to me about this.
But you will in a moment, Doctor. The man, the murderer, appears to be a short, malformed, dwarfish creature who, even though his face has never been clearly seen, gives a strong impression of evil. Doctor, a particularly brutal murder took place last night in Montague Street. Dr. Danvers Carew was bludgeoned to death.
Carew, Member of Parliament.
Aye, the same. He was beaten to death with a walking stick. And the murderer was the dwarf-like creature that I mentioned. The person who saw the murder take place followed the murderer afterwards, you see, keeping at a safe distance, you may be sure. And, well, that's why I'm here.
Why precisely?
The murderer was seen to enter this house.
You must be... Well, I was about to say you must be joking, but of course, you're serious.
You don't happen to be acquainted with a Mr. Hyde, do you? A Mr. Edward Hyde?
Well, yes, yes, but he's not an occupant of this house.
He doesn't live here?
No.
Does he visit?
Well, on occasion, yes, but I haven't seen him now in, months, I should say.
Uh-huh.
Hmm?
Friend of yours, is he?
No. Patient. He suffers from a nervous disorder. Comes to see me whenever he's in need of medication.
Well, thank you for your time. Oh, good day.
Good day, Inspector. Damn. Sorry I've kept you waiting, Poole.
Oh, not at all, Mr. Utterson.
What can I do for you?
Mr. Utterson, I'm worried. Fearfully worried. About Dr. Jekyll.
Oh?
You remember, sir, we were talking a long time back, near 2 months, I should think, about Mr. Hyde. And you asked me if I'd ever seen Dr. Jekyll and him, Hyde, together.
Yes, just something like that, yes. And you said you never had.
Well, they are together now, sir. Not that they mightn't have been together before, but I know for certain that they are now. There are fights. Yes, fights going on in that laboratory between the doctor and, that terrible man, Mr. Hyde.
This time?
No, sir. Arguments. I hear Dr. Jekyll moan and groan and cry out, no, leave me be. Oh, Mr. Utterson, sir, I'm so afraid for Dr. Jekyll, so afraid.
Yes, well, you're saying that comes as no surprise, Poole. The truth is, I've known he was in some kind of trouble since he changed his will months ago in favor of Edward Hyde.
In favor of Edward Hyde?
Oh, yes. He's left him everything in the event of his death. But most puzzling, in the event of his disappearance as well.
Oh, sir, I don't understand it.
Nor do I. And to be honest with you, I've given up trying to understand it.
Then I must do what must be done.
What do you mean?
For the first time in my life, Mr. Utterson, I shall disobey Dr. Jekyll's orders. For his sake, I shall see to it that Mr. Hyde never enters Dr. Jekyll's house again.
Dr. Jekyll's help.
He is not at home.
Let me come in and wait for him, Poole. I am in desperate trouble.
Then stay in it and be damned to you.
Father, what is it? I've never seen you so upset.
Well, read this.
My dear Dr. Lanyon, as you value my friendship and my life, please go to this very night to my home. Father, this is a note from Henry. What?
Yes. Now, you needn't read any further. He asks me, begs me, to go to his home, enter his laboratory, and procure certain chemicals and powders, giving very explicit directions as to where I should find them. When the message was delivered an hour or so ago, I have just returned from following Henry's instructions. As you see, the message directs that I am to give these materials to whoever calls for them.
But what does it all mean?
Well, you are Henry's fiancée. You are close to him, closer than anyone else. Obviously, in some sort of difficulty. And if you know what it is, I charge you, for his sake as well as your own, tell me what it is.
But if I knew, I'd tell you. But yes, he is in grave difficulty. But whatever it may be, he keeps to himself. And what would it have to do with chemicals and powders and elixirs? Oh, Father, I don't know.
No. Lem is retired. I'll answer the door. You retired as well, my dear.
No, Father, I want to stand.
Do as I say, my child. Go to your room. I have a feeling that I'd best tend to this alone. I'll go now.
Very well, Father.
How damnably long does it take you to answer the door? Let me in. Let me in quickly. You took your own sweet time, man.
I...
Where are the materials you were told to get?
In my study.
Come. Let us get them. Come, come, come. Where are they? Where are they?
Right there on my desk.
Yes, you did well. All seems to be here. Believe me. You misunderstood. I didn't say shut the door. I said leave me.
I didn't misunderstand, Mr. Hyde.
You know me.
From the newspaper reports of your murders, the general description of you, all of London knows you now, I should think.
Leave me. Go out and close the door and don't return until I'm gone.
Not until you tell me what connection you have with my friend and my daughter's betrothed, Dr. Henry Jekyll.
I tell you, if you value your sanity, leave me.
I will know the answer to who you are and what connection you have with Jekyll, or you will not leave this room.
Fool, Hyde. Fool, the police are hot on my trail. I killed the man.
No, I'm not surprised.
I went to Jekyll's house, but his blithering servant refused to let me in. That's why I sent that message to you.
You? Well, it was signed by Dr. Jekyll.
You don't understand.
And I intend to understand, or you will not leave this room, this house. Back off, I say. Yes, as you see, I'm prepared for you. This gun is loaded, Mr. Hyde, and I shall use it if need be.
You leave me no choice. If the police find me here, well, they will not find me. The potion is quickly prepared.
The potion?
Once again, leave me.
No!
Then, damn you, witness what you shall witness. You're as big a fool as Jekyll. You're given the chance to leave well enough alone, but no. You must know the answer. Well, you shall know it. Your friend Dr. Jekyll had a theory. A theory he talked about so endlessly, so compulsively, that he bored everyone within the sound of his voice. You know the theory, do you not?
Yes, I was one of the bored listeners. Yes, I know. Hmm? But each of us contains within himself not one spirit, but two. A good spirit, an evil spirit.
What else? There was more.
Jekyll also believed that a way might be found, yes, via a potion, that would release that other spirit, the evil side of us, the side we all try to keep under control.
Exactly, and you all laughed, you... The mercury! Where's the mercury? You didn't bring... You did, yes. There it is. Thank God. Yes, you all laughed. You said it couldn't be done. And even if it could be done, you all said it would be madness to try it. You were right in one respect. It was indeed madness.
You, if I follow you, you are saying that Jekyll carried out the experiment?
He did.
And it was...
For me, yes, for me. For him, tragic. Well, you see, Dr. Lanyon, I am in control now, whereas before Dr. Jekyll controlled me, I now control Dr. Jekyll.
What in God's name are you saying?
You shall see. Yes, in a moment. You shall see. Potion is ready. Before I drink it, I offer you one more chance to leave.
No.
Well, in that case, Lanyon, God help you.
You drank that.
Why do you think I mixed it?
But it contained mercury, quicksilver, and other... Hyde, what? My God, what's happening? You're changing before my eyes. You're getting taller. The hair and head changing color. Good Lord. What are you going through? You're becoming a different man. A different being. Heaven help you. You've become Before my eyes, you become Henry Jekyll.
Yes. Yes. And just in time. Please shut your door, Dr. Lanyon. Let them in. I have nothing to fear for the moment.
And so, before the shocked eyes of Dr. Lanyon, Dr. Jekyll's secret is revealed. Edward Hyde and Dr. Jekyll are one and the same man. Questions arise. What did Hyde mean by saying he is now in control of Jekyll? What did Jekyll mean when he said he has nothing to fear for the moment? We shall see when I return shortly with Act 3.
You've seen the Budweiser commercials on television, and maybe you've wondered how long people have been putting that famous... Well, not as long as the brewers of Bud have been putting things on the label. Things like Bud's most important ingredients. Quote, brewed by our original process from the choicest hops, rice, and best barley malt. And things like the following statement. This is the famous Budweiser beer. We know of no brand produced by any other brewer which costs so much to brew and age. Our exclusive Beechwood aging produces a taste, a smoothness, and a drinkability you will find in no other beer at any price. Unquote. Yes, brewing beer right does make a difference. Read the Bud label. Taste the king of beers, and you'll agree, when you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
A Lone Ranger and Tonto are camped in the woods just outside of town when suddenly the great horse Silver rears and...
Kimikami.
Yes, Tonto. Silver senses trouble. Come on.
Quickly, the masked rider of the plains and his faithful Indian companion head into the thick underbrush.
Smell smoke, Kimikami.
Over there, Tonto. Hurry.
Suddenly, they come upon a clearing, and there, just inches from the hanging branches of a giant tree, a smoldering campfire.
Quick, Tonto. Grab that empty bucket.
As Tonto hurries to a nearby stream, the Lone Ranger stirs the fire until the embers cool. Then Tonto returns and drowns the fire twice.
Good work, Tonto.
But what about men who start fire?
Well, Tonto, they have a choice. Either they'll put an end to careless fires, or they'll put an end to the forest. Let's go.
Public service on behalf of the Forest Service, State Foresters, and the Ad Council. The Scotland Yard Police, in pursuit of the murderous Mr. Hyde, arrive at Dr. Lanyon's house in Cavendish Square, just as Hyde is transformed into the noted and respected physician, Dr. Jekyll. Now, as the police urgently ring the bell of the front door.
Dr. Lanyon, you must answer the door.
I can't get up from this chair, Jekyll. My heart, I feel weak, faint.
Then I suppose I must let them in. Beatrice, how long have you been outside this door?
Long enough, Henry.
You know.
Oh, heaven help you, Henry. Yes, I know.
There's the police at the door. You'll not give me away.
Dr. Jekyll.
Inspector Wolf, isn't it?
Yes, but what... One moment. Sergeant, place your men so every entrance and exit is guarded. Now, if I may come in, Dr. Jekyll.
Certainly. My dear, this is Inspector Wolf of Scotland Yard. My fiancée, Miss Beatrice Lanyon, Inspector.
How do you do?
Oh, no, a thousand apologies, ma'am, but... We're looking for a murderer. A certain Edward Hyde.
And what makes you think he'll find him here?
A description of him was given to every hansom cab driver in London. One of them saw him enter this house little more than half an hour ago and notified the yard.
Well, you've obviously made a mistake. This is the home of Dr. Lanyon. I am his daughter. We are not acquainted with anyone named Hyde.
I beg your pardon, Dr. Jekyll. You said something?
No. No.
Miss Lanyon, I should like your permission to search the premises.
Well, I'm afraid that's impossible.
Oh, I don't think you quite understand.
If our information is correct, Edward Hyde is in this house, and he's a dangerous man, Miss Lanyon, a murderer.
I'm sorry. No. Good night, Inspector. Inspector, I said good night.
Is your father at home?
Yes.
Then I must ask to see him. If you will not give us permission to search the house, perhaps he will.
I'm sorry, Inspector, but my father...
I insist, madam.
Inspector, there is no Edward Hyde in this house any more than there was an Edward Hyde in mine when you called there.
Very well. I won't pursue this matter further tonight, Miss Lanyon. But Dr. Jekyll, I think we should have another talk, you and I, about your Mr. Hyde.
He's not my Mr. Hyde, Inspector. He's a patient I haven't seen in a long time. Should he pay me another professional visit, I shall certainly notify you. And now, sir, good night.
Good night.
Henry. Oh, Henry, what terrible thing have you done?
My darling. Oh, my dearest, I'm trapped by my own folly. Your father warned me a long time ago to give up my experiments. If only I had heeded his advice.
Well, heed it now.
It's impossible. It's too late.
Why too late?
I lost control over Hyde. He controls me.
What?
Over these past months, he's grown stronger and I weaker. I never know how or when the transformation... Oh, horrible transformation will take place. Heaven help me, Beatrice. I have become Hyde's slave.
But it's not too late. We can't let it be. Father could help you, Henry. I'm sure he can. Come, come. We'll ask his advice. He'll know what to do.
Perhaps you're right. Yes. Let's see what he has to say.
Father, the police have gone, and Henry's in fearful trouble, as you know, and he wants to... Father?
Dr. Lanyon.
Father, what is it? Why do you just sit there staring? Oh, my God. Oh, Henry.
Yes. He's dead. What he saw tonight was too much for his weak heart. Edward Hyde murdered him. Heaven forgive me. I murdered him.
No, I think.
No, I would like to stay a little longer, Mr. Utterson.
No, child, they'll start to fill in the grave shortly. There's no need to put yourself through that. Come along now, I insist.
Oh, very well.
Beatrice, if you would care to dismiss your carriage and let me take you home in mine.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Utterson, but I'd like to be alone. You understand.
Yes, sir. I'll go with Beatrice.
Oh, no, thank you, Henry. No, I really do wish to be by myself for a time.
I see. I'll call on you then tomorrow. If I am able.
I shall be busy tomorrow. There's so much to do winding up Father's affairs.
Perhaps if
I'll get in touch with you, Henry. Good day. Good day, Mr. Utterson.
Good day, Beatrice. Now, Jekyll, join me in my carriage. I want to talk to you.
My own carriage is waiting.
Send it along. I must talk with you.
As you wish.
You may go along, Johnson. I'm riding with Mr. Utterson. After you, Jekyll.
Well, what is it?
I want to talk to you about your will.
Oh, what now, Utterson?
Oh, need you ask? You read the newspapers. You know this man, Edward Hyde, is a monster, a murderer sought by the police. God knows what your connection with him may be, what hold he has on you, and you needn't say he hasn't. He must have. Why else would a man of your reputation, a celebrated and respected physician, leave all his worldly possessions to such a human horror?
They're my possessions. I have the right to do with them as I wish.
And I, the right as your solicitor, to refuse to let you do.
You can't stop me.
Well, perhaps I can.
How? In what way?
Not sure. I'll have to seek advice on this. It may very well be, Jekyll, on grounds of protecting you from yourself, that I can have you declared incompetent to handle your affairs.
Incompetent? I incompetent? How dare you say such a thing to me? How dare you even think such a thing?
Jekyll, let go, my arm. You're
my will is my will. No. Edward Hyde is to inherit everything, everything in the event of my death or my disappearance.
What is the matter with you? Take your hand off. Good Lord, your hand. Jekyll, your hand. It's long hair. Think the nails are becoming.
Hey, you meddling little pipsqueak.
Face! It's changing!
Of course it's changing, you interfering muddlehead. Do me out of my inheritance, would you? Prevent me from inheriting Jekyll's wealth?
You! God! You're Hyde! Yes. You are Edward Hyde!
Yes, Edward Hyde. Edward Hyde, murderer. Murderer, Edward Hyde, monster, according to you.
Yes, but how could he? No, you're
die.
Henry, it's Beatrice, let me in. Henry, do you hear me? Open this door. Henry, I've come to help you. No. Let me in.
Beatrice. Henry.
It's
the end. Where? It's the end, Beatrice. The end. The potion doesn't work anymore. It's useless. Hyde takes over whenever he pleases.
Oh, dear Lord. There must be something we can... What is this gun?
I meant to take my life and this horror once and for all. But he won't let me. I have only to pick up the gun and he returns. I no longer have any will of my own. He possesses me, owns me, like a demon.
What is it?
Hook, get out of here, Beatrice. Leave me at once.
You're changing. You're becoming Hyde. Let go of me, Henry.
Let go of you when I wanted you. Land for you. Lasted for you, my lovely creature, all these months, huh?
Don't kiss me.
Oh, yes. Kiss you and fondle you and caress you and... you're stronger than I thought. My beautiful Beatrice. Good, very good. That makes the score.
Stay away!
From you? Stay away from you who are made for love. Would you deny a man the pleasure? Say, you're very, very quick. Strong, too. Strong and quick. And desirable. Stop trying to elude me. You can't. You know, you can't. You are strong, but I am stronger. You are quick, but I am quicker. Oh, you are a beauty. And I a beast, eh? Beauty and the beast, eh? Beauty and the beast. Put that down.
No. Huh? You could stop Henry Jekyll from using this gun, but you can't stop me. Get away from that door. Let me out of here.
Oh, no.
Stay back or I'll shoot.
Go ahead, shoot. I didn't think you could. It isn't in you to kill even such a thing as me.
No. No. Oh, dear God, help me.
Just give me the gun, my dear, and then once you're in my arms...
No.
Don't struggle. It'll do you no good. Give me the gun.
Mr. Lanyon. Oh, good heavens. Mr. Lanyon. Mr. Lanyon.
The gun went off and killed Mr. Hyde.
Hyde? But on the floor. That's Dr. Jekyll.
What?
See for yourself.
Oh, yes. I see.
But if the gun killed Mr. Hyde, how?
Don't ask any questions now, Poole. Not now. Just go and fetch the police.
As a baffled and distraught Poole rushes out into the storm to find a policeman, Beatrice Lanyon gazes down at the body of Dr. Henry Jekyll. Or is it Edward Hyde? I'll be back shortly.
It took me 20 years to get what I've got today. Nice house, a couple of comfortable, good-looking cars. Then along came all the concern about miles per gallon. They say one of my cars ought to be a small car. I say, okay, show me a small car that's good enough to make a big car guy like me happy. They say, look at a Buick. I say, go on, Buick doesn't even make small cars. Look at the Apollo, they say. So I looked. Buick does make a small car. But this one's got some room and comfort. And something else. A six-cylinder engine and a standard 21-gallon gas tank. Put those together and you've got range. Well, that's just important to me is miles per gallon. So I consider everything about the car, the economy, naturally. But also how nice it was inside and how smooth it was. And I bought the Apollo. There's nothing wrong with a small car. As long as it's a Buick. Apollo. The Buick of small cars.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love. But give your allergies to contact.
Now listen carefully, because this message may surprise you. There is an ingredient that can effectively help block pollen's bad effect on your system. Sneezing, sniffling, drips, itchy red watery eyes. It's the antihistamine most prescribed by allergy specialists. And it's an ingredient in Contact. Surprising, yes, but the true wonder of Contact is how our tiny time pills keep this antihistamine working, helping up to 12 hours per capsule, all day, all night. Allergy is our business, too.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love.
But give your allergy to Contact. Take Contact only when needed, only as directed. To know that the adaptation of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde I've just brought you comes closer to Stevenson's original than any other I know. I think you'll agree it was as much a mystery as a tale of horror. Our cast included Kevin McCarthy, Marion Seldes, Ian Martin, and Court Benson. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division, The Kellogg Company, makers of Kellogg's Special K cereal and new sugar-free diet 7-Up. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Portland, it's 11 o'clock.
CBS News. An Israeli army spokesman reports that Israeli warplanes have hit guerrilla bases in southern Lebanon for the second day in a row. I'm Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS radio network. The Israeli army spokesman reports that a 15-minute raid was aimed at guerrilla bases just west of Mount Hermon and just north of Israel. Israeli planes struck at guerrilla targets in the same area yesterday. The raids may be in reprisal for an Arab attack last week in Israel, in which three people were killed. More in a minute.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication?
or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, Vantage Press invites you to write to a leading New York publisher for a free illustrated brochure titled To the Author in Search of a Publisher. It explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. Just write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized, or controversial, this 52-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. That's GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. If this is your first book, you'll find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York.
NATO foreign ministers wind up their two-day meeting in Ottawa Wednesday. Attending the conference is Secretary of State Kissinger, who briefed his NATO counterparts on future and past events. Marvin Kalb reports.
Kissinger gave his NATO colleagues a rundown on the president's upcoming summit in Moscow, also on his own negotiating triumphs recently in the Middle East. In return, his colleagues gave him final endorsement on a new 14-point declaration of common principles. CBS News has learned its content. These are some of the major points. The reaffirmation of all NATO allies that an attack on one will be considered an attack on all. That détente with the Soviet Union should be pursued, but without sacrifice to general allied security. That America's nuclear umbrella is indispensable. That America will maintain its troops in Western Europe. Europeans, however, making up three-quarters of the conventional NATO troop levels. The acknowledgement dear to the Secretary's heart that events outside of NATO, meaning the Middle East, can affect NATO's security. That Allied consultation is encouraged but not legally binding. The upshot of this new declaration is that President Nixon has something to sign next week when he stops in Brussels on his way to Moscow. Marvin Kalb, CBS News, Ottawa.
President Nixon is scheduled to meet today with Portugal's new president, Antonio de Spínola, in the Azores. Spínola is expected to give Mr. Nixon a rundown on events in Portugal since his takeover in April. The two leaders are also expected to discuss a renewal of a lease agreement, which allows an American military base to stay in the Azores. The president is scheduled to leave for Washington later in the day. The Senate has approved the nomination of John Sawhill to be administrator of the Federal Energy Administration. One of the few votes against confirmation was Democrat Senator James Averesk of South Dakota. He objected to the agency's having former oil company executives on its staff.
They have brought people in the energy office right out of the oil industry when they're finished making decisions, writing regulations that affect the oil companies. Then they go right back into the oil industry where they started from. To me, there's somebody's got to be here to protect the American public, and Congress has to do it if nobody else does, and that's the point I was trying to make today.
Averesk's point was his vote against Sawhill. Three other senators joined him. More after this.
It's a real hot day. I'm soaking up the sun, and suddenly I say antifreeze right out loud. My wife says, huh? And I say, haven't you heard that song?
You can never buy Crestone too early. Do it now, don't you wait. You can never buy Crestone too early. You can only buy it too late.
It's a fact. A 50-50 mix of Crestone 2 winter summer formula and water, about 2 gallons for most cars, fights boilover because it helps your cooling system handle heat better than water. Fresh boilover protection and fresh corrosion protection, too, because only Crestone 2 has a patented silicone silicate inhibitor system. Nothing beats it for corrosion protection. Summer, winter, spring, or fall, you can never buy Crestone too early. You can only buy it too late.
Who can you trust?
Rebels fired rockets into downtown Phnom Penh, Cambodia again Tuesday night. At least 4 people reported killed, 18 others wounded. Khmer Rouge insurgents in Cambodia claim they have captured an American lieutenant near the city of Kampong Song 2 weeks ago. But a spokesman for the American embassy denies the claim, saying no American officers are reported missing in Cambodia, and no officers have been in the area of Kampong Song recently. There will be 3 rock festivals this summer in the United States to benefit the African Famine Relief Fund. The United States mission to the United Nations announced that the concerts will be held in Los Angeles, Dallas, and New York at the end of August. Members of the planning committee include entertainers Ringo Starr, Roberta Flack, John Denver, and Seals and Cross. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.